Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome. Today's Daf is Be'achaf Beis. We begin 16 lines from the top of the Amid, right at the two dots. The Mishnah gave us three items where we find a Chumrah. Rabbi Gamliel was Machmir in accordance with Shitas Beis Shammai. The second of which is Ve'ein Zoik Finas HaManor. You cannot straighten out. You cannot get the menorah upright again. We're assuming we're speaking about lifting a tipped menorah. Micah Ovid, what's wrong with that? It's Yom Tov. Why can't you lift the menorah on Yom Tov? Amar Rav Chinan Bar Bisna. We're not speaking about simply picking up a fallen menorah. Hacha b'menorah shel chol yoseh zkenim. This menorah is comprised of parts, of sections. It collapsed, it fell apart. He'd like to reassemble it on Yom Tov. The Mechzik Abayna. It appears like he's building, he's constructing. The Beis Shammai Savri. Beis Shammai hold, you can't do that. Yesh binyan bekelim. And the Bach adds, v'yesh stira bekelim. The concept of building and demolishing applies to kelim as well. You can't go ahead and reassemble the menorah even on Yom Tov. But Beisil Savri, according to Beisil, there's no concern. They hold, ain't binyan bekelim. V'ain stira bekelim. Building. Demolishing. That applies to in-ground structures, buildings, houses, tents. But a kli, the concept of bain and seisha doesn't apply. Rashi says, well, if you weave, you've done the melacha of oirig, you cut, you sew, it's a melacha on its own, sewing, teifer, memachi. But the concept of bain only applies to a binyan or a oil. So when Rambam Gamliel says you can't be zoikev as a menorah, he was referring to reassembling a collapsed menorah. In accordance with Beis Shammai, that the concern of binyan applies. Ula ikla lebe Rav Yehuda. Ula came to the home of Rav Yehuda on the night of Yom Tov. Come Shammai. The Shammai, the attendant of Ula, got up. Zokafla lishraga. He straightened out. He tilted the lamp, which caused the oil to run to the back of the lamp, away from the flame, which brings about a premature extinguishing of that flame. Eisvir Rav Yehuda the host, asks his guest, Ula, what's going on here? How can you allow the Shamas to do that? To tinker with a lamp on Yom Tov, to cause it to go out early? Hanoisin Shemen Bener, Chayev Mishum Mavir. This is on Shabbos. If a person adds some oil into a lamp which is already burning, he's chayiv because of the malach of maver. He's lighting a fire, he's adding to the fire. And likewise, if he removes some oil from a burning lamp, chayiv mishum mechab, he's chayiv because he did a malach of kibbutz, he's extinguishing. Amalei. So Ulu responded to Rabbi Yehuda, Lava that tell you, you know what, I wasn't really mindful. He wasn't doing it with my permission. It was something that he decided to do on his own. Of course, I would not have allowed him to remove oil from the lamp, even on Yom Tov, because you're not allowed to put out a fire on Yom Tov. Interesting Tosis here on the side. It's going to be the third Tosis from the top. Tosis seeks to explain the halacha of adding and removing. We consider it to be mavir, mechaba. Why? What are you doing when you're adding oil or removing oil? So Tosis, I'll just read it inside. Tosis says, "V'mestabgim menu chayv mishum mechava." Eini rotza loyma. The reason is not because he's expediting the kibui; he's causing it to go out earlier than expected. Mishum emayr kibuya. Removing oil, he is hurrying the kibui. Delihavi elagaram kibui. If that were so, then it wouldn't be a concern on Yom Tov, because it's just a goyrim. He's causing, he's bringing about a premature extinguishing of that flame. Ugram kibub Yom Tov shari, that's mutar on Yom Tov. Afa bishim emar kibuya. Ubi Shabbos nami in a chayv. Even on Shabbos, he wouldn't be chayv. So that could not be the concern of the Gemara that he's bringing about a premature kibuy. Elhanu Tamas says to us, you know what the problem here is? Hoyo duba oisa sha. Shum estapak memenu. At every moment, when he removes some oil, mechabek tzas umachasa oiri. Interesting concept. Tosis says, when you remove oil from the burning lamp, you are actually diminishing in some way. In some way darkening. You're taking away the flare of the flame. The lo yochel lanhuri kuli hai. Taking away the ability of that flame to burn properly. Ki ikas shevan mut b'ner. When there's less oil, the flame is less bright. Perhaps the oil has to travel farther. Whatever the reason is, l'kach nir ki kibud appears like kibud. So Tosis explains that adding oil increases the brightness of the fire. Removing oil takes away, diminishes the power of that nir. So on Shabbos, on both accounts, it's a malacha. One is mavir, one is mechaber. On Yom Tov, mavir wouldn't be a problem, of course. You're allowed to light on Yom Tov. You're allowed to increase the brightness of a lamp on Yom Tov. But the problem was removal of oil, which is mechaber, which isn't mutter even on Yom Tov. And that was the problem that Rav Yehuda had with Ulal Shamas. So he challenged him. He says, what's going on? He says, you're right. It wasn't upon my instruction. Continues the Gemara. Where did it do that? Omar Rav Kanba Shari. Kanba means removal of that blackened tip sitting on the wick, on the burning wick. That's mutter on Yom Tov, although you're somewhat extinguishing the burning portion of that blackness, but it's in order to enable the flame to burn better, and it's mutter on Yom Tov. Boy minei Abba Marmarti Mabaya. Abba Marmarti asks Abaya the following question. We know that you'll have to do malachis on Yom Tov, l'tzorech oichel nefesh. So to prepare food, you can do malachis. What about for the sake of other types of personal benefits? Other types of hanna. Is malacha allowed? For instance, ma'u l'chabes es haner v'pnei davar achar. Can one put out a lamp to enable tashin shamita, which can't take place in the presence of a ner? So it's not oichel nefesh, but it is for personal benefit. Amalei Abaye sort of avoided the question. He says, you can take the lamp over to another room. So avoid the problem. Or Tashmish in the other room. What if he doesn't have another room? He responded, go ahead and make a curtain, make a partition in front of the lamp. Doesn't have a curtain, the greater machitza. What then? You can take kli and overturn it on the nair. Doesn't have a kli. What should he do? Finally he says, Osir. You can't. You can't put out an air because that's not called achila, even though it's a tzorech, but a malacha can't be done for that sake. Esve. So Abba Bar Marta responded with a kasha from a brisa, which seems to indicate otherwise. You can do malacha for other purposes. Ein mechaben es habakas. You can't extinguish a burning log on Yom Tov. Kedei lachos aleha, if the motive is to preserve the material of that log. If the point is to prevent the home from getting full of smoke or smoking up the pot, in that case it's mutter. Oh? So kibui is mutter for the sake of a personal tzorech, even though it's not oichel nefesh. So why is it different than putting out the flame? In the question, in the shayla that I presented to you, Abai. Oh, Malaysa, Abai responds, you're right. Hahi Rabbi Yehuda. That brisa is authored by Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that just as you can do malacha for oichel nefesh mamish, you can do it even for machshirei oichel nefesh, as we're going to learn later on Daf Chav Ches Bezus Hashem. And therefore, you can extend the heter to all types of personal benefits and needs. And that's why you can put out the bekas, the burning log, to avoid smoking up the home, etc. And likewise, you can put out a flame for Tashmish Shamita. Kika Amina Anol Rabban. I was referring to Shittas Rabban. That malacha is only allowed for pure Eichel Nefesh. It's limited to food preparation only, not to other Tzorchei Haguf. And therefore, I told you can't put out the flame if it's not needed for food preparation. Here comes another Shaila in similar vein. Boi Minei Abai Mir Rabba. Abai asks Rabba. Mayu L'chabe Sadleka B'Yom Tov. What about extinguishing a fire, a burning fire on Yom Tov? Hey, chadik is sakonas nafashes. If someone's life's in danger, like a boiler, there's no question they can be put it out. That filu b'shabes shari, that would be mutter even on Shabbos. Kikim a boiler, mishum ibav mamon. My question applies to a case where he's going to lose his house, he's going to have to eat outside. My, what is the halacha there? Amalei also, he responds, it's aser, although There's a lot to gain from putting out the flame, but it's not purely Eichel Nefesh, it's Asur. Esrei, now Abaye asks Rabba, what about the Braisa which says, you can't put out a burning log if the point is to preserve, to save the wood material. However, the point is to save the home from getting full of smoke, or likewise the pot, it's mutter. Apparently, kibul is mutter even if it's not strictly for the sake of Eichel Nefesh. Hayi Rabbi Yehudahi. Rabbi responds, yeah, that's Rabbi Yehudah Shita, who extends the heter beyond strictly Eichel Nefesh, and therefore anything which entails personal hana would justify malacha. Hayi Rabbi Yehudahi. Kika aminan ala Rabbanon. I was responding in accordance with Shita's Rabbanon, that malacha is the only mutter for the sake of Eichel Nefesh, and therefore, in your case, you're not allowed. Furthermore, by minei Rav Ashi ma'amemar. Rav Ashi asks ma'amemar the following question. Ma'u lichol esayin b'yamtiv? What about applying k'chol, some sort of eye ointment, eye paint, to one's eye on yamtiv? It involves a malacha of kaisiv, etc. Can it be done on yamtiv for the sake of refuah, to heal a person's eye? Now, heicha de'ika sakana, if it involves sakana, a person's eye is in danger, could go in, for instance, in the following conditions. Rira, there's pus forming in the eye. Ditsa, there's a sharp pain. Dama, there's a blood accumulation. Dimasa, it's tearing. Kadachta, there's a fever developing in the eye. Utchilas achla, if it's at the initial stage of all these conditions, lomi boili, there's no question that it's mutter, that filu b'shabbos shuri, even on Shabbos would be allowed to do this, because a malfunctioning eye can actually have an effect on the entire guf. It can put it, places life in danger. So of course you can do these things for a fool. Kikum ebeili soif uchla. My question applied to the end stage of this experience, of this condition, where his life isn't any more in danger. Uvetzuchi eino, or he's just trying to enhance the performance of his eye. My, what is the halacha there? Can we do these malachis on Yom Tov? Amalei asa, he responds, of course it's asa, it's not echel nefesh. Esvei, well he asked him, what about the brisa in mechaben esabakas? That brisa that we mentioned earlier, where it seems they can do malach of kibui for the sake of tzarech, even if it's not going to provide food. So what's wrong with applying the k'chol for the sake of his eye? Vishani lei. I may have responded, Kiddush Anin, exactly as we answered earlier, that price is Rabbi Yehuda, who stretches the heter to non-essentials as well, to other tzrachim as well. Whereas the Rabbanon hold that it could only be done for Eichel Nefesh, and this is not Eichel Nefesh, it doesn't qualify. So we had three discussions in the Gemara, all running along the same track, and the conclusion is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Malach is Mutar on Yom Tov, even if it's not strictly Eichel Nefesh. For instance, mechabe saner for tashmish, mechabe adleika to avoid burning out the home and forcing him to eat outside, putting the k'chol in the eye to enhance its performance. According to Rabbanon, malachas on Yom Tov could only be done strictly for Eichel Nefesh purposes. Ameimar shari limkhalena, Ameimar allowed k'chol to be applied to one's eye, min nachri, if it was done by a non-Jew, bishabata, even on Shabbos. So he held that even if it's a non-critical refuah, a nacha can do it on Shabbos. Igadarmi, there's another version, Amemar Gufe. Amemar himself allowed a goy to do it for him. Kochal eina minacha b'shabbat. He allowed a non-Jew to apply k'chol to his eye on Shabbos. Omli Ravashi Amemar. Ravashi asks him, my daitach, where are you coming from? Why are you allowing this? Domar Ula, is it because Ula said, all the needs of an ill person can be performed by a guy. Even though it doesn't involve sakanas nefashos, Chacham suspended the general isser of amir la'akam. Generally, you don't have a guy do a malach of you, but if for the sake of a chayil, even if it's not, yesh b'sakana. It's just an ailment which doesn't place his life in danger, you can have a nachr do it for you. I understand that. But hani mili, that only applies hecha deloy mesayeh ba'adei, if the Yisrael is not really assisting, he's not aiding and abetting the goy in the malacha, then we can have a nachr do it. Avul mar, but in your case, kom mesayeh ba'adei, you're helping the nachri apply the k'chol. How? Dekor Amitz, because you're closing a pasach and opening your eye, you're closing and opening and allowing the chol to be absorbed in your eye. You're involved in the procedure. How could you allow that? Amalei, Amema responded to Rav Ashi. Ikar Rav Zvid, Dekoi Kavasach. You know what? Rav Zvid actually holds like you. He also asked me the same question. How can I allow the goy to do this if I'm helping him in the process? Vishanile, you know what I answered him? Mesayeya Aimboy Mamish. The guy is doing the malacha. I'm just a recipient. I'm helping him out. This slight assistance, Mesayeya, doesn't have tangibility, doesn't have significance. It's still mutter. Says Rashi, 10 lines from the bottom of the Amid. Amid to Pasach. See, asks Amemar, how could you allow the guy to apply the Kohl? Aren't you helping him out? Soigel, Upeseach, Rise'en of Lachas, Akhal, you're opening and closing your eyes to absorb the Kohl? He responded, you know what? You're not on your own. Ikar of Zvid, Shayim actually Kamois, or Zvid also used to ask me the same question. And you know what happened? I answered him. Vishani le Uparakti loy, that what? Masayeya, ain't by Mamish. Misha ain't oise Malacha Mamish. When one is not really doing the Malacha, El Masayeya Ma'at, he's just helping out a little. Kihai, like in this case, Ubalav, who, even without his generous help, Ms. Abda, it would be done regardless. Anyway, Mamish, we don't give it chashivas, we don't give it credence, we don't reckon with it. And since the guy could have done it on his own without my help, I'm not really part of the equation. Vachi Amar Mesech HaShabbos, Matzniya, Dugmar Shabbos says, Gabeze Yochel, Ben Zen Yochel. Reuven and Shimon both doing a malacha. Reuven has the ability to do the malacha, and Shimon doesn't. So they're both doing it together, and really Reuven is the primary player. He's the one that can do it. Shimon doesn't have the ability to do it on his own. What's the halacha? Who's responsible? Yachal Chayim. Reuven, who can do this malacha, he has the ability to do it on his own. He is held accountable. Shein Yachal Potter. Shimon is not Chayim. V'avagadim k'mesayeb v'adei, although he's helping him out. Mesayeya ein bei mamish. He's just an auxiliary to Reuven. He's just secondary to Reuven, who's the ikar oisa malacha. He's the one who's doing it, he's the one who's chayiv. In this case, the guy is the one applying the chayil, even though I'm helping him a bit, mitsayeya ein b'mamish. So the bottom line is that any refuah, even if it's not a davar sheyesh b'sakana, could be done through a nachri, and even in the case where he's helping him a bit, mitsayeya ein b'mamish. Ameimar shorah lemikchal ein b'yom tov shenish or shoshana. Furthermore, Ameimar allowed a Yisrael to apply Kechel to his eye on the second day of Yom Tov, which is only Midrabban, even though it was Rosh Hashanah. So although you're not meant to do a Refuah, which doesn't involve Sakana, not meant to do it on Yom Tov, as we explained earlier, but on the second day of Yom Tov, even though it was the second day of Rosh Hashanah, he allowed it, and the Farshim explained, since second day Yom Tov is only Midrabbanan, nowadays we know that the Ikar Yom Tov is the first day, we're proficient with the calendar system, we know that the first day is the Ikar, second day is only the Minig of Yisrael V'Yodeinu, as we had back at the beginning of the Masechta. So on the second day we follow Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, as explained earlier, Rabbi holds that even Machshir Echel Nefesh can be done on Yom Tov, even a Malacha which is not directly benefiting the consumption process, it's just a tzayrach haguf that can be done on Yom Tov as well. And the second day Yom Tov, which is the Rabbanu, will make it like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore a Meimar allowed a refuah to be done on the second day Yom Tov, although it involved a malach. Amalei Rav Ashi a Meimar. Once again, Rav Ashi asks him, how can you allow this? Va'amar Rava, we know that Rava said, mace, if you have a mace lying before you awaiting kvura, Yom Tov Rishon, it's the first day Yom Tov, is asked by Amamin. A non-Jew can go ahead and bury him. Yom Tov Sheni, if it's the second day Yom Tov, we go down a notch. He's asked by Yisrael, even a Yisrael could tend to his kvura. V'afilu b'shnei Yom Tovim Shosh Hashanah. Even if it's the second day Rosh Hashanah, we apply this kula, a Yisrael can do the kvura. That's because it's a mace. And when it comes to a mace, on account of Kavod HaBriyos, Chacham suspended the Dini D'Rabbanan. So on the second Yom Tov, even the second Rosh Hashanah, which perhaps is more Chamer, as we're going to see in a minute, Even Yisrael can tend to the Meis. Masha'ekin v'beitza, as opposed to the Shaila of the Beitza, Shinolda v'yantu, which we had back in the beginning of the Masechta. We don't treat the second day any different than the first day. So for instance, if the egg was laid on the first day, you can't say, well, let me have it on the second day. Either way, m'manafshach. Because only one day is Kodesh and one day isn't. So if yesterday was Kodesh, well, today is Choy, let me have it. If today is Kodesh, then it was laid yesterday during the weekday. You don't say that by an egg. Rather, as we explained back in the beginning, the Masechta Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah is different than your typical Yom Tov. We treat both days as one continuous, a single, uninterrupted entity of Zman Kedusha. The reason was because of the Edom, which had a deadline past which we don't accept their testimony after the Mincha of the first day, which is the third day of Elul. We don't only accept their testimony, and we continue keeping the day B'Kedusha, knowing full well that we're only going to be Makabel Eidos tomorrow, in which case at that point we're going to be observing 2 days Rosh Hashanah, but not out of uncertainty. It's pretty clear that it's going to be tomorrow, not today. We still continue observing Yom Tov. That gives it a din of Kedusha Achas, as we explained back at the beginning of the Masechta. And therefore, as opposed to your typical Yom Tov of Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkot, over there we say, really, Nechutz Laretz, one day is Yom Tov. We keep 2 days, we keep the Minna going, but technically the first day is the real Yom Tov, the second day is only Derabbanan, and there's room for Kula, but Rosh Hashanah, you can't say that. So when it comes to a mace, we're Mekel. Even the second day of Rosh Hashanah, we allow the Yisrael to attend to the Kippur. But when it comes to other halachas, like the Beitza Shanoda, or like doing malachas, for instance, applying the Kheil to one's eye, we treat both days of Rosh Hashanah equally. So how could you, Rav Ashi, is asking Amemar, how could you allow this malacha on the second day of Rosh Hashanah? It's not Eichel Nefesh. We can't pass like Rabbi Yehuda in this case. There's no room to be lenient on the second day over the first day. Amalei Amema responds. Anokanadoi severely. You know what? I hold like Nardoi, the Amri. They hold Afa Beitza. Even when it comes to other halachas like the egg, second day Rosh Hashanah is treated like any other second day Yom Tov. We don't consider both days of Rosh Hashanah like one continuous entity. Why are you questioning? Why are you challenging? Where are you coming from? Why do you consider 2 days of Rosh Hashanah as one entity? Dilma ma'abri leila el, right? Because they might add a day to el, which means, another way of saying, they're concerned about that eventuality. The Edom might come after Mincha. I'm going to add another day to el, and they'll only be accepted the next day. In which case, at that point, we have 2 days Yom Tov, observed not on account of uncertainty. It's one continuous Vaday Kedusha, right? That's where you're coming from. And Adori didn't hold that. Why? Ha'amar Rav Chinan Bar Kahana. He said like this. It never happened. From the time of Ezra onward, we never find that Elul was extended. It was never a leap Elul. In other words, what he's saying is, it actually never happened, except for that one time in history. It never happened that the Edom actually arrived too late, in which case we observe both a Zion of Machmas Vaday. So, your svar is that we have to always be concerned about that possibility, to Edom will arrive too late, in which case we'll observe 2 days Machmas Vaday, and the people Chutzlords, who always keep 2 days Rosh Hashanah, will establish their 2 days based on this model, will have a din of Vaday. Well, it's not the case, say Narda. It never happened, it was never activated, it's not a real concern, and therefore, even those in Chutzlords who observe 2 days Rosh Hashanah, it's like any other two-day Yom Tov. One of them is the Rosh Hashanah, one of them isn't. They keep the Machmas Safek, Machmas Minog. And the fact is, nowadays, we know that the first day is the real Rosh Hashanah, and the second day is only kept on account of the tradition, on account of the Minog. And therefore, just as I allow Malachas to be done for non-Eichel Nefesh purposes in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda, if it's the second day Yom Tov, which is only the Rabban, we'll make it. I apply the same concept to the second day Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so conclusion. What did we learn? We learned that, according to the Chachamim, a malach on Yom Tov could only be done for Eichel Nefesh Mamish, not Machshir and preparatory acts or other Tzorchei Guf. According to Rabbi Yehuda, yes, you can. Even according to Rabban, on Yom Tov Sheni, it would be Mutter. Regarding second day Rosh Hashanah, we have Machlekes in the Gemara. We also learned that all the Tzorchei of the Chayla, all the Chayla's needs, and we're speaking even if it has no sakana involved, can be done through an akum. Let's go back to the Mishnah. There were three items, three chumras that Gamliel observed. So the second one we discussed, Zoik v'nesamanoida. Here comes the third. Vein oifen piten gritzen eller kikin. You can't bake large size matzahs on Pesach. Only thin wafers, rikikin, as we do today. Only rikikin. Now the Gemara at this point figures there's a chametz concern here. The thicker it is, the more difficult it is for the heat to actually bake the entire interior of the matzah. So that was Rav Gamliel's concern in accordance with Shitas Beisham. Turn around bottom. Beisham Eimrim Ein Oifin Pasover BePesach. You can't bake a thick matzah on Pesach. Concerned about it developing into chametz. Ubisil Matirin, they say no problem. But come a Pasover. What's the thickness that Bisil allow up until what point? Amarfuna Tefach. A Tefach thickness is the most you can get. Because we find a precedent to a matzah being a Tefach. Apparently, even a tefach can be a successful matzah. Shekei matzina b'lechem apanim tefach. We find lechem apanim, which was technically matzah. It was how thick? Was a tefach thick? So apparently, up to a tefach, you're safe. Maskef l'Rav Yosef. Says Rav Yosef, how do you compare the migdash to your ordinary person? Im amr b'zrizin. If this was applied to the kehanim, or Rashi's base garmu, who were craftsmen, they were experts. There was reason in how to make the lechem upon them. Yoimer b'she'enon z'risen, how could you apply to ordinary people who aren't so zaris? And perhaps their thick matzah will turn into chametz. Im amr b'pas amela, if this was said regarding lechem upon them, which was produced from mixed and battered dough and flour, which mixes properly and bakes efficiently. Amela is loshna amela, so it's worked on properly. So there's no concern, perhaps, but Yoimru bePasha in Amela, how can this be applied to ordinary matzah, which doesn't have that procedure done to it? Perhaps it won't bake so efficiently. Yoimru beEtzim Yevashim, this was said regarding fully dried firewood, which bake efficiently, which heat efficiently, as was used in the Beis HaMikdash. Yoimru beEtzim Lachem, how do you apply it to wood, which isn't necessarily so fully dried, and perhaps will not reach the same temperature as in the Beis HaMikdash. Im Amru B'Tanur Cham, this is said regarding the Lecham Panim, baked in the constantly heated oven in the Azor. Im Amru B'Tanur Tzoyin, how do you apply it to an oven which is perhaps cooler than the one in the Mikdash? Im Amru B'Tanur Shamateches, if this was said regarding that metal oven in the Beis HaMikdash, which was very hot and efficient, Im Amru B'Tanur Shalcheres, who says you can apply it to ordinary clay oven? In any case, you can't compare the two things just because they allow the thick lechem upon them, it's a midrash. Who's to say that we're meant to follow suit? Okay, before we continue, perhaps I'll take a look at Rashi, two lines from the top. So according to Beis Shammai, you cannot be oifer pas over the Pesach, says Rashi. The more figures at this point, the concern is because she'ena yochel l'shomer mehachmetz, it's difficult to prevent it from becoming chametz. But still say, no problem. Up until what point? Become a pas over sheitiru besilil. How thick would work according to besilil? A tefach. Shkei matzinim lechem apanim. Shu matzah. We know that lechem apanim was really matzah. It was called lechem, but it was really matzah. Kedamin mechalam manoches bois matzah. V'av yetefach. It was a tefach thick. Kishmoy. As it's called, lechem apanim, which means actually panim has a face to it. Ve'im panim p'chusam tefach, which is at least a tefach. So in order to get to deserve his name, he has to have some sort of thickness, which presents as a tefa, as a punim, as a face, as a surface which appears like something that has significance, and therefore we know it was a tefach thick. Says Rabbi Yosef, how do you compare the Beis HaMikdash to ordinary matzah? Biz reason, shal beis garmu, shal yo umnen, was using medavar. Number two, pasam mela, shal yo ton, gimu meis shifa, shifshif biyodoi. They used to roll and rub the grain to get out the impurities. V'chamesh me'es b'ita, 500 bangs, 500 kicks. Be'egroif with his fist. Shaf achas b'yishtayim, shaf shtayim b'yisholish. As the Gemara Menachos explains, it underwent a very rigorous beating procedure to purify it, and the dough was pure dough. It was an efficient batter. So we can allow ourselves to make it thick. Likewise, it's miyaveshim, fully dried firewood. In fact, actually it says mitesvav ba'av, starting from the middle of the summer, middle of Av, they would no longer harvest firewood for the Marocha, because at that point the sun's heat was slowly diminishing. And they would only take fully dried wood. And they would draw from the Lishkas Eitzim for all the needs of the baking needs of the Beis HaMikdash. That was properly dried wood and worked properly, worked efficiently. Likewise, at a Tanucham, a heated oven, it was on all day. So that was a real hot oven. Matechos, likewise, was made of metal. How do we know that was made of metal? So they needed a klisharis to be mekadesh all these breads. So it was made of metal. Why? Klisharis techeres le'avdinim, because we can't make klisharis from clay. So it was a metal oven. It was a heated oven full of efficient firewood, cooking, baking an efficient batter produced by zrizim. Of course, we can allow a tefach, but how can you compare it to your ordinary person? Doesn't have all these advantages. Okay, says the Gemara, you're right. Let's retract. Let's reinterpret this whole discussion. The Gemara figured was speaking about thick and thin. Mishamay don't allow thick, Mishamay do allow, just as Lechem Apanim. Well, we can't compare it to Lechem Apanim. Therefore, says the Gemara like this, in the first wide line. Amar Rav Yirmi Rabba Abba. You know what? Sha'alis. I myself asked, as Rebbe, B'yichud. I asked Rebbe in private, Umanai, who's Rebbe? Rav. It's referring to Rav, who is a Yirmiyas Rebbe. My Pas'ava. What does the term Pas'ava mean? Pas meruba. It doesn't mean thick bread. It means an abundance of bread. Too many. He doesn't need that many. He'd like to make lots of loaves today, more than he needs. According to Beshami, you can't. According to Besil, you could. And the reason is because adding more loaves in the oven increases and concentrates the heat, which benefits all the loaves, including the one that you really need for today. So that's Beis Hillel's reason for allowing. Beis Shammai doesn't hold up the svar. Therefore, they don't allow baking more than absolutely necessary for Yom Tov use. So rather than speaking about thickness, rather than speaking about size, we're speaking about quantity. Ikadamri, there's another version, Amar Rav Yirma Ba'aba Amar Rav, he was quoting Rav, who said, Sha'alis es Rebbe B'yichud. I myself asked Rebbe privately, Umanai, who is the Rebbe of Rav? Rabbi Nachkodesh, that was Rabbi Danasi. My Pas'ova, what is the term Pas'ova referring to? Pas Merubo. We're not speaking about thickness. We're speaking about many, many loaves. But my Karoli Pas'ova, if that's the case, why does the Mishnah call it Pas'ova? Thickness? Mishum Danafisha Belisha, because it has a thick, large-sized batter. Right? Produce many loaves, you have to have a large batter. That's why it's called Pas'ova. But the point is not the size, thickness, rather, the abundance, the quantity of loaves being baked on Yom Tov. Inami, another pshat would be, Ba'asri da'atana, because in the location where the Tana lived, Pas Meruba, how would they call lots of loaves? Pas Ova correlate, they would refer to it with the term Ova. Okay, but the point is, instead of referring to thickness, we're speaking about the number of loaves being baked on Yom Tov. Michli, let's step back and think about this. What's wrong? What's the concern? Because he's involved in extra exertion and unnecessary tircha. More than he needs for Yom Tov. Okay, if that's the case, Ma'ir Pesach. What does that have to do with Pesach? Right? Mishnah speaks about things that you're not going to do on Pesach. Actually, the Braisa. Right? The Braisa, at the beginning of this piece in the Gemara, six lines from the top. Now we're speaking about, rather than speaking about thickness, speaking about many loaves, more than you need, that's the shaila here, then that's a general Yom Tov issue. It's not related to Pesach, it's not related to Chametz. Ma'ir Pesach, why discuss Pesach? Afilu b'shar Yom Tovim Nami, it applies to all Yom Tovim equally. Enoch Nami, 100% right. V'tan of Yom Tov Pesach Koy, the Braisa was simply speaking about Pesach. The Tana happened to be discussing Pesach. That's why he made reference to Pesach, although it's really a general Yom Tov machlekes. Tani Nami Hachi. as we find the following braisa, that it is a yomtiv machlokes, b'shama oimrim, ein oifen pasim ruba b'yomtiv. You can't bake these extra loaves on yomtiv, not Pesach, on yomtiv, b'sil matir, and they allow it. So bottom line is, there's no discussion regarding thickness. It's a discussion regarding pasim ruba, adding unnecessary loaves to the baking procedure. According to Basil, you can do it. Rashi says he's following the Shita of Rav Elazar. Back on Yudzayin of Anal, so Shita is Shimra Lazar. You can fill the entire Tana with pas because it's going to benefit the quality of all the loaves contained therein. Whereas Shammai don't agree with that concept, it doesn't justify, and therefore just stick with what you need. Now the Maaser regarding the size, the thickness of matzah, so in Shulchan Aruch, it is stated that one should be careful to have his matzah only up until a tefach, but not including a tefach, for concern of chimutz. But the general minig is actually not to get to that point, rather to bake very thin matzahs to minimize any concerns. However, the Sfardim, I understand, do allow matzahs which are slightly thicker than the absolute thin matzahs. Continues the Mishnah. After we learned the three chumras presented by Rav Gamliel, now we have three kulas. Af hu amar shlesha dvarim lahakol. Rav Gamliel added three kulas. Number one, mechabdin beis hamitas. One can sweep around the beds upon which they would eat and drop crumbs on the floor. You can sweep the area on Yom Tov. We're not concerned about perhaps leveling the ground because we assume this place is constantly swept in any case and was probably leveled. Therefore, there's no concern of a shvuy gumois of straightening out any pits and doing malachas. Likewise, you can burn incense on Yom Tov to spread this pleasant aroma throughout the home. That's called Eichel Nefesh. V'oisin gdimakulos plele psachim. He allowed them to make a gdimakulos, roast a goat, a non-carbon Pesach goat, after the Beis HaMikdash. It's nowadays. You can roast it in a makulos fashion, which was taking the innards and hanging it next to it while it's being roasted. It looks like a person who's armed with his weapons. In similar fashion as the Korban Pesach was roasted, he did it zecher, the Korban Pesach. He allowed them to do this. V'oisin g'dimekulos b'leili psachem on Pesach atayt. V'chacham oishim. Chacham disagree with all three. Don't do that sweeping because you might straighten out the floor, which is boina. Regarding the incense, we're going to learn the Gemara, what the concern with that is. It's not something which is necessarily appreciated by all people. It's not a universal hana, does not conform to Eichel Nefesh. And regarding the Dimakulos, it appears like he's doing a Karm Pesach out of Yerushalayim. We don't allow it. Says the Gemara, Omer of Asi. Let's go back to the Mugmar, the fragrance. Machlokes Legam. The Machlokes in the Mishnah pertains to burning the Mugmar, the fragrance, in order to impart that scent, to give over the Besamim, and have it absorbed into begadim. That's when we have machlekes. Chacham don't allow. That's not called Eichel Nefesh. Aval lehariach. But if the point is simply to spread that pleasant aroma throughout the home, that's Eichel Nefesh. Divrei HaKol Mutar. According to all, Shita is its mutar. Really? Says the Gemara. Meisri. Listen to this braisa where we seem to see otherwise, that the machlekes applies even in the case of lehariach. The braisa says, Ein mechabden beis hamitas b'yomtiv. You can't sweep amongst the beds on Yom Tov. However, Rishabes, Rama Gamliel, Machabdin, the home of Rama Gamliel, they would sweep. So according to this version of the Machlekes, Chacham don't allow, in Rama Gamliel's home, they would sweep the floors on Yom Tov. Omer Blezer, Rabbi Tzaltik, he had a different version of events. He says, no. This was never done even in Rama Gamliel's home. Pa'amim Harbi, in fact, many times. I was present. Nechnasti achar abba lebeis Rav Gamliel. I followed my father into Rav Gamliel's home. And guess what I saw? Nobody swept the floors on Yom Tov. They had dirt floors, by the way, right? It's tiled floors, no concern. So, even dirt floors were not swept on Yom Tov. Rather, Ella, how did they keep the floors clean? They had the following solution. Ella mechabden oisar me'erav Yom Tov. They swept it clean before Yom Tov. And then, u person alein sadinim. they would spread some sheets over the floor to collect any dirt, any dust. L'machar, the following day on Yom Tov, k'sha'orach ha'nechnasim, when the guests arrive, v'salkan ha'sadinit, they would remove the sheets with the dirt on it. V'nimtza ha'bayis mechavad me'ilav, and you have a clean floor. There was no malacha done at all, even in Ramulil's home. I can testify. Amrulay, the Rabbanu responded, nah, that can't be, because we know there's a machlokes regarding something to do with sweeping. Im kain, if that's all they did, after Shabbos muta, that would be but even on Shabbos. They weren't sweeping, they just laid the sheets and removed them. After Shabbos muta lasses kain, that would be but even on Shabbos. The fact that we know there was a discussion and a machlokes regarding what occurred, regarding whether you can sweep, it must be that your account isn't correct, that they actually did sweep in Rav Gamliel's home, and Chacham challenged that, as we have in our Mishnah. That's number one. Regarding the second item that we had in the Mishnah, which was Dig Mugmar, we learn like this. You're not allowed to burn fragrance on Yom Tov. In Rav Gamliel's home, they would place fragrance on coals and burn it on Yom Tov. So according to this version, which is the Tanakama's version, there was a machlokes regarding burning incense. Chachamim don't allow, Rav Gamliel allows. Once again, this was challenged by a first-hand account of Rav Lezer Tzadik. Rav Lezer Tzadik, pa'amim harbi, many times, I was there, nichnasti achar abba lebeis Rav Gamliel. I followed my father into Rav Gamliel's home. V'lo hayom anichnes hamogmer b'yamtiv. Nobody placed fragrance on coals on Yamtiv. They didn't burn it on Yamtiv. Rather, Elo Mevin Ardiskoishal Barzal. They would prepare in advance of Yom Tov, they would bring these metal shovels, these covered shovels which were punctured. Umaashin Oisam Erev Yom Tov, they would fill it with fragrant smoke before Yom Tov. Upaikikin Nikvein Erev Yom Tov, they would plug up the holes before Yom Tov to keep the smoke within it. Lamachar, the following day on Yom Tov, all the guests arrived to the house of the Nasi. They would open up, unplug the holes, allow the smoke to escape. And there you go. You have a fragrant home. So the way I saw it, it wasn't done even in Rav Gamliel's home. Amar Lo, Chacham said, that can't be true, because Imkain, if that's all they did, after Shabbos, Mutilasas came, that's not even on Shabbos. So what's the whole machlekes about? Apparently they did burn fragrance on Yom Tov itself to impart the pleasant aroma throughout the home. That was Rav Gamliel's shita. And the Chacham don't allow it. They don't consider it to be something that justifies a malacha. It's not echel nefesh. Okay, that's the end of the brayis. How does this pertain to us? Very pashut. What do we see in this brayis? What's up for discussion? What type of fragrance? Talking about spreading good aroma in the home. We're not speaking about perfuming the clothing. That's not the topic of discussion. We're speaking about lahariach, to be mahana the guests that arrive on Yom Tov. That seems to be the machlokes. Rav Gamliel allowed, Chacham did not allow. And according to Elizabeth Tzadik, even that wasn't allowed. Right? According to his version, even that wasn't done in Rav Gamliel's home. In any case, this is certainly a kasha on Rav Asi, who tells us that the whole concern is only when you're perfuming the begadim, it's moilit, but lahariach, to spread pleasant aroma throughout the home, that's certainly echel nefesh, that's what they're calling to all sheet. It's pretty clear from the braisa that that's not the case. Answers the Gemara, you're right. Ela I itma hachi itma, rather, if we actually learned this halach, the name of Rav Asi, it must have been said in the following way. A little different than the way we had it. Amar Rav Asi, machlekes lahariach. This whole discussion applies lahariach when he's burning the psamim to fill the home with a pleasant aroma. Then we have a shaila. Is it considered echel nefesh or not? According to Rav Gamliel, perfectly fine, because you enjoy it. According to the Chacham, it's aser, it's not something which is universally appreciated, and therefore it's not considered eichel nefesh. It needs to be shavah l'koy, it has to be something which is uniform, conventional hano, which everybody appreciates. That's the machlokes, lahariach. As we find in the Braisa, that they were involved in spreading the reyach. Ava l'gamer aser, but if you're perfuming the begadim, you're being moiled reyach, you're imparting fragrance into the begadim, to the kelim, that's called moilid. That's also even on Yom Tov. According to all shittas, that's not up for discussion. Says the Gemara Iboilu, we had another shaila. Maula Ashna, what about smoking, Ashi says, smoking peiros? So you're going to smoke some food, smoke fish. So you take some fragrance, you put it on the coals, and you have the smoke absorbed into the peiros. Can you do that on Yom Tov? Is that called Echel Nefesh? Maula Ashna. Rav Yirmiyah ba'aba amar Rav Aser. Rav says it's Aser. V'shmol amar mut, kund v'shmol it's mut. Before we get to the reasons, let's just finish the next two lines. Rav Huna amar Aser. Let's just figure out what's the problem here. Rav Huna amar Aser. Why? V'neshem machaba. He's extinguishing. When he places the sum on the coals, at that very moment, he's extinguishing some of the coals. Amali Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman asks him, why are you only concerned about Mechaba? V'neim Amar, why don't you say B'meshem Maver? Concern is because he's flooring up the fire. Why Mechaba? Why not Maver, which is also a Malacha? Amali Rav Huna responded, you're right, both are really a concern. I just decided to mention one of the two. Mechaba, Tchilose Mechaba. Initially he puts out, when he throws the fragrance on the coals, he's going to extinguish it somewhat. V'sefer Mavin, you're right. Eventually it flares up. And there's another malacha happening there, lighting a fire. Now, of course, this would be mutter. Mavir is certainly mutter by Echel Nefesh. And perhaps Mechabe as well. So why can't you do it in this case? He's trying to prepare his food, Ma'ash and his parents. Let's go over to Rashi. Five lines from the bottom. Says Rashi, Ma'ula Ashen. Maula Ashen Peris Ba'ashan Besamim. Likloy Tamaboysim. Can one put Besamim on the Gecholim and have the smoke, the aroma, absorbed and embedded into his Peris? Can that be done on Yom Tov? Rav says, Asr. Why? That's not called Eichel Nefesh. The Tafrim Yisiru is some extraordinary delicacy. V'ein Shavachal Nefesh. It's not your typical Hana. It's not called a universal Hana. Istinus is for this these special few. Ubahai ishan ikav malacha, and since this process involves a malacha, kedem far shavuno a time of the rab, as the Gemara explains, meishu machabe gecholim. Shenoyskin ava absamim aleim, because he's somewhat putting out, he's extinguishing the coals and placing the b'sam on it, so it's a malacha. And if it's not considered oichal nefesh, it doesn't justify. Ushmol amar mutar. According to him, there's no concern. Why? Why? If it's not something which your typical person does, why is it considered Eichel Nefesh? Listen to Rashi. The Eichel Nefesh, it is considered Eichel Nefesh. Why is it classified as Eichel Nefesh? V'roi Afani, because it's suitable for anybody, even for an Ani. Everybody would appreciate smoked food, smoked salmon. Elosheinim Matzulam, it's not something which is commonly done. They don't have access to it, but they appreciate it. V'dami, it's similar to the case of the Nizdaman Leitzvi B'Yom Tov. A person happens to trap a deer on Yom Tov. It's a delicacy. You can go ahead and shecht it. Why? Although it's not something that everybody would partake in on Yom Tov. It's a question of access, not appreciation. Everybody would appreciate a nice cut of deer meat. That's called Echel Nefesh. So by adding the svar, what Rashi did is he answered a kasha. How could Shmuel allow this procedure, be ma'ashi in the Paris on Yom Tov? How does this fit with the Chacham, the previous Gemara, who don't allow burning fragrance in order to spread that aroma throughout the home? Because it's not Shavu L'chol Nefesh. It's not appreciated by all equally. Why is this different? Why is this mutter? Says Rashi, a big difference. In the previous Gemara, not everybody appreciates. There's a lack of appreciation for Reich of Mugmer wafting throughout the home. That's not called Eichel Nefesh. But over here, theoretically, smoked food, smoked salmon, deer meat would be appreciated by all. The Ani doesn't have access to this type of material. But theoretically, it's something which can benefit all, which can be appreciated and enjoyed by all. That's called Eichel Nefesh. Therefore, according to Shmuel, it's mutter. Rav disagrees. He says, bottom line is, it's something for the special few. It's not called universal. Okay, continues Rashi. What could be wrong with doing this? What malacha does it entail? Meshe machabek, the fish, as we just explained. He's putting out the coals, and if it's not considered shavu l'chol nefesh, ain't a shavu l'chol nefesh, v'chuch asr l'asas av malacha b'shvilo. So he spoke about machaba. Rav Nachman asked him, what about mavir? Flaring up the coals. V'neim amar b'nei shemavir ha-besamim shagam zav malacha. It's also malacha. He said, you're right, both are there. Amar le'tchilos in machaba. V'seif in mavir. Both concerns are present. V'ano kama kama nakti. I mentioned the first one, the machaba. But eventually, it flares up, and you really have mavir as well. Okay, so in summary, regarding mugmar, in order to be megamer, in order to perfume the clothing, that's moilet, that will be also going to all shitas, to fill the home with a pleasant aroma, we have machlekes. From Lil allowed, Ham say it's not a chalnef, it's not shavu l'chol nefesh, it's aser. We had a similar machlekes regarding smoking food on Yom Tov, which also involves malachis. Rav says it's aser, it's not universally appreciated, whereas Shmuel says, fact is, it is appreciated, perhaps not accessible to all, but it's considered shavu l'chol nefesh, and his mutter on Yom Tov. Okay, so what do we learn today? We had three chumris in the name of Rav Gamliel, the second of which was Ein Zoik Venesa Menorah. We spoke about a menorah which collapsed into pieces. According to Rav Gamliel, who follows Beis Shammai, we hold a binyan by Kli as well. You can't reassemble it. Adding oil to a pre-existing lamp, removing oil from a lit lamp, would be considered mavir and machaba. On Shabbos, you can't do that. On Yom Tov, certainly you can't remove oil, because that's kibui, which is asur on Yom Tov. Removing the kinba, the ash sitting on top of the flame, in order to brighten the flame, that would be mutter on Yom Tov. Regarding doing malachis, which are not directly for food preparation, for eichel nefesh, machshir eichel nefesh, preparatory procedures, or other things which enhance a person's a day, but not considered food activities. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's mutter. According to Rabban, it's aser. All agree that Yom Tov Sheni, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, it's mutter, because it's only the Rabbanon. We can do these malachas even if it's not directly for Eichel Nefesh. Regarding the second day Rosh Hashanah, we had a machlokes. It's tzarchei chelek midan through a goy in all cases. The maskana was that the discussion between Hashem and Beisila regarding Pasava had nothing to do with size and thickness, rather Pas Meruba was the issue, baking more than needed. According to Hashem was Asr, according to Beisila was Mutter. And again, briefly regarding the three things that Rav Gamliel was Mekel, so we had sweeping amongst the beds, placing the Mugmar on the coals, and the Gdi Mekulos roasted in that manner on Pesach. Regarding the Mugmar, the maskana was that legamer would be usher in any case, meaning imparting the scent into the begadim, that's moilid, that would not be mutter. That's not considered eichal nefesh. Regarding lahariach, spreading that aroma throughout the home, according to Rav Gamliel, that's mutter, it's still considered eichal nefesh. According to Chacham, it's not shavu l'chol nefesh, and it's also regarding being ma'ash in the peris. According to Rav Huna, it would be aser. Rav Huna, the name of Rav, it's not called shavu l'chol, it's not universally appreciated and enjoyed. According to Shmuel, fact is, it is appreciated by all, although not accessible to all, and it's like capturing a deer on Yom Tov, which is mutter, and therefore there's no concern, it's considered eichel nefesh and mutter on Yom Tov. Kol tov to you, and much, much hatzlacha.